Welcome, magical beings. We have a special guest. Lacey is joining us today. We've got some great things to talk about. I'm so excited to finally chat with you, Lacey. I know everything has kind of been up and down. We were like shit passing in the night trying to figure this out.
Yeah, November was wild. It was a lot of hits, taking a lot of hits, getting back up. A lot of hits, getting back up.
Man, wow. Well, I'm glad you're up. Yeah, this whole year has been shit, so.
Yeah, it's been wild, but I love the beauty of it all. But I think that's sort of the death doula in me that kind of enjoys the death process, even in myself. Mm-hmm. But I have to remind myself that I enjoy it, when I'm crumbling on the floor and feeling like I'm dying, and then allowing myself to actually die, or a part of myself to actually die. And I like to think, oh, I'm a healer, so there isn't more layers that need to be shed, but it's a constant fucking shedding. And unfortunately, November, in the beginning of December, showed me that I need to really be practicing what I'm fucking preaching. And All year I've been preaching let the parts of you die that no longer serve you. Let the parts of you die that no longer serve you. Meanwhile, I have a death grip on a few things that I do not want to die. But I think the death is so important for manifestation. Anytime we want to manifest anything, we have to let something die for something to be born in our realm.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that. That's deep.
Yeah.
That makes all the sense in the world though, right? Death is literally making space for newness. You know what I mean? So in order for you to grow, there are things that have to die. That makes all the sense in the world now that you said that. Wow.
Totally. And I even think a step further in that is that when we let stuff die, we have this survival instinct within our own bodies for new life to be created. So all of us are going through our own death processes right now. And within that, we're also craving birth to happen. And when you crave birth to happen, whether it's literal birth or you're birthing new projects or a new sense of self or a new place to live or whatever, a new body. I've been getting a lot of messages about the new body. When you're craving this new life to come in, that's birth energy. What is birth energy? It's creation energy. What is creation energy? To me, it has a lot to do with our own sexual energy. So I feel like in a roundabout way, death is really connected to sex.
Well, I'm so glad you segued into that, because that is a sort of what I want to chat about, is, you know, just kind of sexuality and how it intersects. Hey, that's the word. Okay. I thought I made up a new word. I was like, I didn't make up a new word. But how it intersects with race and belief and culture, and just how we can break through some of those. I think you're the perfect person to talk to about this, because, I'll be honest. I'm not the most open sexually person. I'm very sexual, privately.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that, right? But I just think that it's just deep programming that my mother has put on me, that makes me very uncomfortable talking about anything sexual, unless it's like, again, like in a private setting, like me and one other person, right? Like a friend. It could be a friend. I could talk about shit, whatever. Totally. Or whatever. But it's just like, I can never truly, fully, I don't know, like, I don't know, be open to it. And you, I feel like, are very open. And, but the thing is that it doesn't make me uncomfortable as like it used to when we're talking about it in the group, right? Like people talk about it. They love your pod, which I want you to talk about and explain, you know, to our viewers what your pod is about, that podcast. But yeah, I just kind of want to talk about like, how can we maybe just kind of free ourselves from some of the things that are still programmed and holding on to us? How can we kill those things in us that, you know, that need to die so we can continue to morph?
Yeah. So the interesting thing about dying is that nothing actually dies, you know? Nothing can be created or destroyed. So even when we're letting it die, it's just reintegrating within us. But I think you're not alone when it comes to not feeling comfortable talking about it, because no one teaches us that it's okay to talk about it. And especially for feminine people, it's extremely been shamed. And not just feminine people, all people, are especially queer and femmes. Like, I feel like men can talk about it more, but they can talk about it only
if it's about a girl.
If it's about a girl, if it's about how hot she is or how masculine they were within it. But I find it like very rare to hear any vulnerable conversations about sex publicly. I even have tuned into some recently because I didn't necessarily mean to start a podcast about sex. It wasn't my goal, even though it was called Whore Pod. I wanted to call it Whore Pod for the maiden mother crone in witchery, but it's really turned into a sex podcast, which is fine because I trust what's supposed to be born will be born organically. But tuning into other sex podcasts, I feel like people are just talking about the same freaking things, like polyamory, gay or straight. And, oh, my husband cheated on me. And I feel like very rarely do we hear what's mentally going on in your head when someone's eating you out. What does it feel like in your soul when you give a blowjob? How do you feel sexually turned on with all your clothes on? And like, do you know what I mean? I feel like we don't talk about the deep vulnerabilities of sex and spirituality almost anywhere. Even with my friends. Sorry, would you say?
I like, as you were talking about it, I like wanted to retreat. Yeah. But I don't, you know what I mean? Like I want to be open about this because this is going to be probably the hardest conversation I've had since I started my podcast. So
totally. So
yeah.
Can I ask you
spirituality?
Yeah. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
What about sex? Do you feel like it's hard to talk about openly? Like what about it?
This is going to be a mouthful. So I've thought about this a long time. Okay. So this conversation is a long time coming. It's like literally fate because I've just been thinking about this for so long inside. Right.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. It's because, I've got children. They're teenagers and they are so open with everything. I don't know what's in the water with these younger kids, but they just talk about whatever, right? They have no like boundary. Well, maybe my 13-year-old, my Aquarius does. he's trans, but, you know, I mean, even before that, you know, he just was very very private. But like my 16-year-old is just so open with everything, just tells me any and everything. And I was not like that with my mother. My mother, is hardcore religious. Like, I'm talking about fire, brimstone, hell, all my life.
Yeah.
So, and as I was growing up and coming into my own sexuality or whatever, you know, she just was, it was always, you know, your reputation and boys are going to do this and you don't want to be known as that. And then of course I grew up in the 90s. So everybody was like, basically, you know, I'll tell you a little story. There's like, the school I went to, all of the athletes, we were like one big group. I cheered. So the football players, the basketball players, the soccer players, they had this little black book that they kept track of who they had sex with. So that's number one, we're talking about teenage boys just being free to do whatever they want, right? They came up with this idea and everybody was like, that sounds great, dude. Let's do that. Right. So that's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, the girls in the book, when it got found out, they were ostracized. I'll never forget one of the girls. I couldn't stand her from way before this happened, but the book was found. It was found that she had sex with a bunch of guys, as a kid, maybe not. She shouldn't be free to just do whatever, but as a person, it's her body. She can do what she wants with it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. When they found out, they put all these posters up about her with her name, her address, like everything and all this information. And I hated her more.
Yeah.
I was like, oh gosh, she's a fucking slut. Like, of course, this is why I hated her before. I didn't know I was an empath. So I don't know if there were other, you know, things. I mean, I'm like 17 at the time. So, you know, I don't know all these words, but I just was like, oh, there's the reason why I hated her. I knew all along. She's just a fucking slut. Fast forward years, as media and music is changing and it's becoming more sexual and all of the rap girls there, all they talk about is sex, nasty things. And the conclusion of this is that my daughters asked me, one time they were singing a Nicki Minaj song and I flipped out. I was like, what the fuck, bruh? I told you I don't want you listening to that fucking crap. And they're like, well, why, mom? Like, it's a good song. I was like, because she doesn't provide a good image to girls. Now, let me preface this with, I don't think that entertainers should be role models. I don't think that. What I was saying is that when I was a kid, I had more people to choose from in an entertainment aspect that enlightened me, if that makes sense, right? So if we're sticking with the rap model, like I had Queen Latifah, I had MC Light, I had, you know, I mean, you've got Lil' Kim, you've got Trina, but it was like a balance, right? So I could listen to some nasty ass shit if I wanted to, but I could also listen to something that was like enlightening and made me feel powerful and proud to be black and a woman and all of these things, right?
Yeah.
So for me, I just feel because of the where I'm coming from as a black woman in the United States, we are only viewed as sexual objects.
Yeah.
All the time. And so I've got this programming from my mother. Oh, you're going to be a slut, your reputation, all of these things. And then we've got the Christian aspect of, you know, save yourself, which nobody did. I had a kid when I was 17, like, so whatever. But, and that didn't stop me from having sex, my mother, like at all. All it did was make me be very, very private about it. So I'm okay with having sex. I'm perfectly okay with the idea of it. I'm not ashamed or anything like that. Just in the aspect of how it crosses racial boundaries really, really, really bothers me. I didn't grow up with a healthy image upset. And the thing that I think bothers me the most is that white women, and I could be wrong, this is just my own personal research that I've done, I've written some papers on it. Mm-hmm. White women do not have the same stigma attached to them as being sexual creatures as people of color do. It does, if that makes sense. So it's like there are several different layers of things that bother me so deeply whenever I see Meg Thee Stallion and Cardi B and Nicki Minaj, and that's all I have to see, and that's all they have to see, and that's all anyone has to see, and all they think of is, damn, that bitch is bad. And it's like, is there anything else to these people? We don't know. We don't know their personal lives. And it just bothers me.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to like really truly break through to say, you know what? I hope they live a great and fruitful life after they're done talking about all the sex in the world. Like I don't know. And I really, the reason I wanted to talk to you is because I want to break past that woman hatred of seeing someone be free in their sexuality and me being uncomfortable and projecting that discomfort onto them and onto my kids and into the world, that venom. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. But what I would have to say about it is that I think it's okay that you feel angry about it. And maybe anger is not the right word. But I think it's okay that you feel like frustrated about it. Do you feel like you feel angry about it?
I feel like something happens in the pit of my stomach whenever I see these things. Like I said, it's so many layers, right?
Yeah.
Give you another example. So my good friend, Melissa, she's in the group. She loves Cardi B. I cannot stand her. Yeah. I can't stand her. And it's not because I don't think she's a talented person. I actually, I feel like if you can find your niche, do it. You make money, you do what you need to do. I don't hate on her for her profession at all. I honestly don't care, right? Mm-hmm. What I think I hate the most is that, is the ratchetness about it. And she got popular being ratchet and just wild and out the box. And that is not something I have the luxury of doing in my life. There's a lot of, like, none of us do. We cannot go out. And so then there's this idea when these black female artists come out where they're just so sexual. And they're loud and they're obnoxious and they're ratchet and they just whatever, that I think that it holds a negative stereotype that truly affects me, I feel, right? Like maybe not directly, but you know, you've got men just now calling women just bitches and hoes as the fucking label. Like, They don't even label you like, oh, you see that woman over there? Or back in my day, it used to be female. Like, oh, man, that female over there, right? Cringe, but whatever. But now it's like, oh, man, that hoe right there. And you don't even know her, right? They don't even know her. And so it's like, that has literally taken over the character of a person based on all this shit rolling downhill from the media. So, you know, you got all these young boys and young men and men my age who, when they see a woman, in their head, she's a bitch, she's a hoe, she's a gold digger, she's all of these things that have been portrayed. And it's just, it feels so gross to me that people are making money on something that physically it is detrimental to all of us. Like we can't even be free. I'll give you another example. whenever people are talking about like oral sex, right? And I speak only from experience because I grew up in a pretty white world. When white boys talk about a girl giving them head, it's like nobody blinks. They're like, oh yeah, man, she did this. And it's just like, oh, cool, dude. But if a black girl does it, it's like, ah, that whole game, you know, gave me some head. It's just like so much more growth when they talk about it from a perspective of us, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And I think as a white person, I can't speak on that. You know, I know that I worked at a strip club with strippers of all ethnicities, but I also knew that there was privilege within that for white strippers.
Talk about that.
Well, yeah. So, oh my gosh, there's so much to talk about because I also want to talk about what you were saying with rap. Well, I think for white strippers, it's easier to get hired. In extra clubs sometimes. And then, but they'll go through phases of like what's trending because clubs, dance clubs and strip clubs have to really pay attention to what's trending musically, culturally, in society. The thing that Cardi B and Nicki Minaj did well was created, more of an acceptance around strip culture. So for the girls who are sex workers and don't have an option and are girls of color, it's more widely accepted. Like my grandma knows who Cardi B and Nicki Minaj are. Whereas before it wasn't talked about and they didn't have their own voice. Like Cardi B is like, I'm a stripper. This is what my experience was. Whether it's ratchet or not, it's her experience. And what I like about it is that she is making money from her experience. Something I really appreciated about working at the club was the strippers aren't afraid of their own abundance and their own personal power. And a lot of them are healers and a lot of them know about manifesting. And most, no matter if they're white or Hispanic or Black, have experienced a lot of sexual assault and sexual abuse in their life. And some even turn to that lifestyle because of that abuse. But there's still privilege within that. There's still white privilege within that. And that's undeniable. Yeah. But one thing, like at a certain point, I was a manager and I could help decide who was being hired as a stripper there. Not hired because you can't hire a stripper. Strippers are their own businesses. So a lot of ways doing sex work is not the only way, but an avenue for women owned business and women of color owned businesses. And I saw a lot of women of color working there who were going to school to be lawyers or who had their nursing degree. And they like created their own business out of their sex work. But the white privilege aspect is, and relating to Cardi B, I was in a room full of white people and they're like talking about like the standards and the standards for hiring strippers is fucked up. Like, I shouldn't have been able to like tell a stripper she could work there or not because I'm fat, right? And we can't have fat strippers. So it was really awkward. I'd have to look at a girl and be like, honey, you weigh too much to work here. But here I am fatter than her. And it's in like,
oh wow.
And uglier than her. So it's really awkward for me. I come from a ton of sexual abuse, a ton. But relating it to white privilege in there, I remember sitting down in a group of white people who were like running the club and they were like talking about the beauty standards. And I was like, we need more people of color working here. We need it. And how I got to explain it to them is I was like, it's the Cardi B movement. And we literally talked about Cardi B and how popular she is. And that got it to the point where we hired more people of color. Now, also, I wanted that to be said is like, I'm not an angel in this. Working in a strip club, it's fucked up shit. It's gangster shit. Like a lot of strip clubs are ran by I'm not saying my strip club was, but a lot of strip clubs are ran by like mafia. There's drugs, there's gangs, there's like, I think on like the social media world, we think sex work and stripping is like this easy peasy thing because we do see it on social media so much, but it's gangster shit. And if I hadn't lived such a tumultuous life before then, I wouldn't have been able to handle it. And at times I made bad choices, huge mistakes, and didn't handle it well. But within that, there is white privilege and there's a lot of sexual abuse from all people and a lot of spiritual healing. And I would watch girls transmute the energy from the masculine and bring healing to the masculine and bring healing to themselves. But I would also watch girls who would like hurt themselves within it. So there isn't like a one answer. But I also want to say something about Gen Z. It's like, I think Gen Z is looking at sex so differently. And I don't think that they're looking at people like bitches and hoes. And I think that culture is like totally, but I'm not saying I'm right either. It's just my observation. I think that culture is totally shifting. And there are a lot of, Saint Bode. I'm probably saying it wrong. So I feel really dumb. But it's Bodhi. She's a Black woman rapper, and she'll talk about sex, but she also talks about like 5D and meditation and transmuting it. And there are so many women of color and like underground artists that I feel like are rising now more than ever. And I'm like super excited about that as far as like art and sexuality goes. And I love, and yeah, personally, so I love Nicki Minaj, and I have love for Cardi B too. So I feel like I have to say that.
No, yeah, that's cool. I always tell people like, it's not an attack on you if you like it. It's my own personal struggle that I'm going through, like that has nothing to do with like anyone else. You know, so. Yeah, I'll tell people all the time, like, if you like it, I'm okay with it. It's way deeper to me. And it's like really hard to like disconnect those dots. But I do have a question. I wonder, is the fact that you went through, and not you, just specifically you, but maybe even the sex workers, do you think that because they went through so much trauma at young ages that helped them be able to be?
Absolutely.
I don't know, maybe more.
Absolutely.
Free? Right. And I don't want to make it sound like I'm even terrified that what I'm saying right now. It's like, this was an awful thing that happened, but that didn't happen to me. So all I have is my mother's, you know, constant, you know, nagging of whatever, because she's 60, you know, I mean, right. Like, so of course she was born in 60. So for her, when we're talking about the 90s, it's all like still, you know, keeping everything as hushed as possible. Like, you know, there was no expressing things like that, you know, in an open way.
Yeah.
And like now she's not like that anymore. And not so much like it. Like she's still really hardcore religious, but like she's way more gentle with my kids. So yeah. Like,
so
you know, they don't have the same, like trauma surrounding just the idea of what others are going to think of me. I think that's my biggest thing, is that I normally don't care what people think about me anymore. I'm too old now. I'm almost 40. Like, fuck off. Like, if you don't, you know, if you don't like me, fuck it, right? I don't have to live my life based on what makes you happy anymore. But this is like still one thing that I like, you know, if I go out in public, I literally go through this whole thing of like, okay, make sure this is covered, make sure that's good, make sure you're dressing for your size, because I'm bigger now than I was when I was, you know, younger. So it's all like, make sure I look at least as pleasing and put together for my size and my age as possible. Like, I have all these thoughts that just run through my head, which when my husband gets dressed, he just throws on whatever. He doesn't give a shit about his, like, he just wakes up, throws on some clothes, and he's out the door. 3 minutes, done. I'm still over here like, these pants are creeping in on my butt, and you can see my butt cellulite and everything, and you can see this, and oh, this bra is making my back fat show and my boobs top. Like, I'm going through all these different things that he doesn't even care about at all. All in the to save face of like going out in public and not being embarrassing to me and him and my parents and all of these other things that have just been drilled into me. Whereas other people just go out looking like whatever, and I just don't know how they got to be so free.
I can only speak for me, and my mission is to be free, but that doesn't mean I am free. And I lived a lot of my life trapped in the bounds of other sexual perversions on me. So from the time I was a toddler, I was being molested, and maybe before that. And as I got older, it turned into violent rapes. Meanwhile, my grandmother and mother would tell me, like, don't be a slut. Don't dress like a slut. I, like, got boobs in the fifth grade, and my mom got, like, mad at me for it. And I started my period when I was 11, and my grandma was saying I needed to go on birth control because she didn't want me to be like a hoochie. And so there was this so much fear of my own body and fear of sexuality completely, and feeling like I was doing something wrong to like create the sexual abuse. I had a cousin who would molest me regularly. It was just like almost like ritual, just come in. It's creepy that I use the word ritual, but it was like ritualistic to him. And I would like lay in bed, and he would come in my bed at night, and like everyone knew. My aunts were there, my dad was there, I had other cousins there, and people knew he came into my bed at night. But there was a certain point where my mom and dad were breaking up, and there was like legal issues of divorcing. And my aunt walked in after a night of me being molested by my cousin, and she was like, both of you sit up. You guys can't do this anymore. Like, Lacey, blaming me for it. Like, you created this, and you can't create this anymore because it's going to affect your dad in the divorce if like legally someone finds out.
What?
And so it was like all of my fault. And to this day, I live in my body thinking everything is my fault, feeling disgusting. My mom used to party in this trailer park, and there was this kid who would come over. And when it got dark, he would start trying to have sex with me. But he would always like beat me up first and tell me how ugly I am. And he said he waited till dark time to like molest me because I was prettier in the dark. So I feel monstrous in my body. And I think I like manifest physical illness because there's still so much of that programming telling me I'm disgusting, telling me it's my fault. And of my like my grandmother and my mother were so afraid of me being pregnant, like being a teen mom, because they were. And to the point where I became infertile. And I think it's because I was so fucking afraid of getting pregnant, because they were like, if you get pregnant, you're a slut and your life is worthless. Meanwhile, my mom was actively like, would strip at bar. Like, my grandma's very conservative, but my mom would like strip at bars and stuff like that. And, you know, other things, sexual things for money. And I was like witness to that. And I was witness to other men coming in and out, and like my mom like giving blowjobs on car rides when I was in the back seat. And yeah, that's just meth. But I mean, not everybody on meth acts like that, but it's its own form of sexual abuse to like be sexual in front of your kids. And so I like saw a lot of that. You know, like everyone get fucked up on drugs and all be having sex with each other, and they would forget to like feed us. So you can look at me and be like, yeah, she's really sexually open. It's not that I'm just like sexually open. It's that I'm fighting to survive every fucking day. And how I survive is through transmuting the sexual abuse into my own power. And sometimes I fail at that. Wow. And sometimes I'm able to do it. But it looks different every day. Like recently I cried because I'm like, I don't know how I started a sex podcast. I'm like, what if I'm not like having great sex? What if I'm not this like ultimate sex knower? And it's like, oh, that's all a part of it. The darkness, the feeling sad, but not feeling good enough, that's part of like knowing who you are sexually. It's part of me knowing who I am sexually. But so I can talk about my own past and like why I come out as sexually strong now and overt. Like the overtness is a power. It's a protection. Like, by me like being able to show my cleavage, for a long time I wouldn't show my cleavage. Like it was just terrifying for me. And then I realized, oh, my cleavage is part of my motherfucking power. And when I show it, when I own it, it feels less like the masculine can just take it away from me. So when I hear like Nicki Minaj and Cardi B, I see them as women who have suffered abuse, who are like transmuting it to like being like, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm fucking sexual. But this time I'm making money from being sexual. This time it's on my record label or my record, and you guys can't put it on your records because I get to say it. And like, even just yesterday, I was like working out and I was listening to an old Nicki Minaj album. And I was like, it's really funny you brought her up, because I was like, she's actually a really good influence, because she's like presenting herself as a god. She's like, clap for the heavyweight champ, me. Mm-hmm. No, I didn't do it all alone. We. And she just like talks about growing and that she's the king, you know? And so sex is a part of it, but it's almost like, you know how Jessa is a comedian? But she's sort of a comedian who tells jokes so then you can hear her woo shit. But if she were to just come out and say all the woo shit, you'd be like, okay, crazy. But because she's really funny, it's sort of like a disguise, right? Like she gets away with more. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's certain women who can be sexually overt to get away with a bigger message.
Gotcha. Yeah, that as you were saying that, it kind of like opened up some thoughts in my head, like, you know, taking away the sexuality from the masculine and like owning it, right? Like, okay, if this is what they're going to do, they're going to make money off of it. I might as well own it myself and control it, right?
Because the masculine not all masculine want to act like that either. Like they're being coded in certain ways too. And I thought like, I know I suffered a lot of abuse from the masculine before I worked at the strip club. So I didn't realize like a lot of my job would be working with men. Duh, Lacey. But, and I was like, oh no, I'm going to hate all of them because I really hated men. But then being in it, I realized they're just like seeking their own healing too. Like a lot of men who do like sexually obsessed have a lot of guilt and shame around it. And like it comes from their own trauma too. And a lot of men would come into the club and not even like want to do anything sexual or like it be really sexual. It'd be more about like community, talking, getting away, feeling comfortable with themselves. Because a lot of men don't feel like they can be themselves out in the world also, like how I don't. But I also want to say, even with all of my pain within sex, it's still important for me as a white woman to acknowledge that even in my abuse, even in like suffering and being an orphan, blah, 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 I still have an extreme amount of privilege just being white within the sexual realm. And you can just learn about that statistically, yeah. Not you, but like,
absolutely. No, yeah, that's true.
Oh.
Like I said, I did a paper. I didn't do it wasn't about sex. What it was about, it was just about media. And I just came across information that, informed me just exactly what you're saying is that even in your trauma as a white person, you still have this privilege where you're still seen as more than just a sex object. Maybe not to the people who hurt you. They had their own traumas to deal with. And so they put those things on you. But just as a general whole, the media doesn't portray you as one thing only all the time. You know, even in Barbie's a million different goddamn things, right? I mean, all the time for however many years, decades she's been around, Barbie has been everything in the world.
Yeah.
But they've not given black women that same leeway to be free, to be this and that, right? To be sexual, because we're all humans, right? To accept, I guess. But also more than simply, you know, your stereotypical crack prostitute in a movie or angry black woman who all she needs from a guy is she's got everything. All she wants to do is have sex with this guy. And this guy's like, but I love you. Like, it's like the only two things that they give you. They give you the strong, high powered black female who has it all, but she just needs love. And she just starts off by, you know, abusing this, you know, lowly janitor guy who has to show her love, you know, or she's a prostitute or a crackhead or a single mom and she's got men going in and out of her house, which is a true thing that people experience, but it's not something I relate to at all. Like neither of those things relate to me at all in any way. So I've never had an opportunity to just truly see just a regular person just going through life, you know, even Sex in the City.
Ugh. I hate that fucking show.
White women but they're just having the time of their life. What's the one with the blonde hair? She was super sexual. Samantha. High powered, super sexual. Nobody called her a whore. Not in her group. Across when people are watching it, like, God, Sam's such a whore. She had sex with three people this last episode. Like, no one said that. Not a single person, like, you know, white woman has one night stand. No, it's just a fling in her, you know, she can still get married. No one's like, oh, she's ruined. Black women, I'm telling you, this is a real thing. Like, in groups I'm in, like, even if the men are like, well, she needs to do this, and if she did that, then people wouldn't cheat on her. But it's like, as soon as the woman is free, the next thing you know, well, she shouldn't have been doing this. She's, you know, a hoe. She should have been more careful who she chose and things like that. And it's so disconcerting.
Yeah. And statistically, sorry, what were you going to say? Yeah. And statistically, Black women have a much higher rate of being in danger with sex work. And it's scary. And strip clubs are racist. All strip clubs are racist. Even, you know, like, all strip clubs are racist. I don't know what else to say about that. Like, I think, like, systematically, racism is an issue in every corner. We hear about it a lot with the police, but I can tell you all hospitals are racist. Mm-hmm. Not me telling you, but as just working in this birth and then working with sex work, all strip clubs are racist. All hospitals are racist. So, going through birth experiences and going through sex work experiences, it is harder on Black women. And there's no denying that.
Yeah.
And I feel like as white women have to step up in that. And it's fucking hard. And I don't have all the answers of how. And I've definitely, as a white person, you're going to keep making mistakes. Racial mistakes. And there's no such thing as a white person who just like isn't racist now and it's all healed. Like me, I'm lucky that I grew up with a lot of people of color who, like, I grew up like an orphan in art communities, which were a ton of people of color who took me under their wing and who gave me tough love and who checked me, you know, who were like, yo, that's fucking messed up, dog. And I heard that, and I had to change my behavior. Like, first I wanted to throw a fit and be like, why are you talking to me like that? You know, like, I have definitely shed white women tears.
Yeah.
Like, I love you. We're the same. Like, ugh. All the white woman bullshit has come out of my mouth, and I'm not immune to like, I could still continue to make those mistakes. I think as white women, we have to continually check ourselves and see where we're fucking up with our own privilege. And there's just so much congratulatory, left wing. Oh, I understand the Black narrative. No, you don't. If you're white, you don't. And I think for some white women, in the spiritual realm, especially, it's hard not to fall into that. And we have to continue like learning and growing. And it's going to be a death process because we're going to have to allow some of our privilege to die. We're going to have to give up some of our privilege for a new world to be born. And I think, and I could be wrong, but I think part of that, I'm not saying this is the whole answer, but it's like honoring the feminine energy within everyone. We've been diminishing the feminine energy in each other. No matter what gender you are, we've been looking at the feminine like there's something wrong with it. Like my grandma and
you're mom, not wrong.
Like when I started getting like curves in a body, they treated me like I was doing something evil. And a lot of that is connected to our mother wound of our mothers being sexually abused, of our mothers being told that it wasn't okay for them to be sexual. And part of the reason is because sex is fucking magic. Sex is power. And to rip the power from the feminine, how are you going to do that? You are going to make them feel so bad about their own sexual energy that they diminish their own power. You know, it just feels like an act of the matrix of diminishing the feminine power and pitting feminines against each other. I talked to so many feminines, predominantly feminine energy, no matter what gender they are, who struggle with, you know, their own sexual repression and their own sexual abuse. And then they start judging other women for it and like feeling pain around those women and feeling like they can't even be friends with a woman who's like wearing a short skirt or like, you know, posting thirst traps on Instagram because you're
literally preaching to the choir. Like, yes, I'll tell you the craziest thing is that's me, right? But also, I still also believe that like strippers and sex workers, they should be able to do what they do. Like, I'm not like one of those people who are like, oh, strippers shouldn't strip and prostitutes shouldn't prostitute or sex, you know, whatever, right? Like, I think that they should be able to do whatever they want, right? It's their body. They should get a check. You know, it's a business. It's their freedom to do whatever they want. And I'm not against it. I'm not for it for me personally, right? Because I am a believer of sex ties. So I just personally believe that when you're intimate with people, intentional or unintentional, they leave things with you and you leave things with them. So I personally couldn't do it, but I'm not like so judgmental that like, I would just turn my nose up to people. Like I know people who have stripped and I've never been like, ugh, lust, like, I can't believe it. Right. It's just like a personal thing for me. Which is the same with like abortion. Like personally for me, it's a no, but I feel like you or anyone else should be free to do whatever they need to do to be free. But on what you were talking about, like how the feminine has been just diminished. I mean, that's visible in so many ways. Like I read a book about these girls in Africa and in the Muslim communities over in, you know, in Africa and Iran and Iraq and things. And they cut their clitoris off so that they can't have sexual enjoyment because it's all for the man. You also have boys growing up where if they shed a tear, everyone's calling them a pussy. And it's like, that doesn't mean weak the way you think it means. Like, we're stronger than you. Maybe not physically. I probably couldn't hand-to-hand wrestle my husband. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's physically stronger than me. His arms are the size of my thighs. But mentally and everything else, he coughs and he's in the bed for 3 days, like, oh, I can't move. And me, I'm literally dying actual death. And I've gotten all the kids up, combed hair, I've cooked food, I'm at work, I'm dying. I'm literally dying. And everybody's just like, mom, mom, mom. You know what I mean? And it's like, fuck off. I can't even die in peace because I have to be strong. You know what I mean? And it's like, pussy doesn't mean weak. So you, but it does to the masculine because that's what they'll call, oh, stop acting like a little bitch.
Yeah, well, the masculine.
So yeah, it's
just and the masculine
on all sides.
Is hurting the feminine. They're hurting the feminine themselves. And it's and I just think it's the act of the matrix, right?
Right.
I believe there are gods among us, quite a few of them. I don't know how many, lots, maybe everyone. I have no idea. But for the matrix to survive in the old world, they had to take away magic, the power. When I say they, the matrix, whatever that is. And not even that the matrix is bad. I think in the end, we'll realize nothing is bad, nothing is good, and we'll all come together. But for white supremacy to exist, for capitalism to exist, they had to rip the power from the magical beings. and who are the magical beings. I really think that melanin is a superpower. And just on the physical body level, melanin has so many health and physical attributes. And spiritually,
yeah, it's worth a lot of money on the black market. Like, just the melanin, the organ, you know,
it,
666, it is the combination of melanin and coding and DNA, and they've made 666 be the satanic mark of the beast when it literally is what melanin is. I mean, it's deep. It's deep, like it's deeper than just, oh, you know, whiteness and blackness and race and everything. Like, it's on such a deep cellular level, the attack that has happened, that they literally, it's like literally being born, like, I don't know, like, you know, the best thing I could think of is like Hercules, right? Like, he didn't know he was half God. He grew up as a regular child. Or Clark Kent grew up as regular children and then learned that they came from power, right? And it was like, as they found this out, it was like betrayed, like, I've been this all this time and you knew and you didn't tell me. And now I've got to figure all of this out alone, because who else knows about it? But there are people out there. So it's like,
And
you and I know.
Yeah. And
you know,
the coding is within us. You know, like, if you're supposed to, like, the coding is really within us. And I think the idea of reaching outside and teacher and guru and celebrity and all that shit's going to die, because the coding is within us. And I think black people are melanin people. Like, we all have melanin, but black people clearly have the most. And I think melanated people have different codes that white people probably can't access. And I don't necessarily think it's, I think we have to worship the melanin, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I think to recode it, we have to worship the feminine energy and worship the melanin, and treat feminine as gods, treat melanated people as gods, because they do hold the codes, and because it's been abused. It's been ripped from them, not the codes, but this psychological warfare that's tried to make then feel like they aren't gods or they aren't powerful. And I feel like how you recharge the God within is by worshiping the God within yourself, worshiping yourself, whether it's, and you can worship yourself through masturbation, through recoding how you see your body as sexual or as beautiful by yourself. You don't have to actually even be fucking to do it. You don't have to show anyone else to do it. You can, and both options are amazing. But you can worship your body sexually to activate the God within you. And I think it's important that we worship each other. I think so much of, like, of this is, like, made up. Like, I think, like, feminines have been pitted against each other. Straight people have been pitted against queers. And white women have been pitted against black women. And it's like, white women, I see it as, we need to release some of our privilege and honor and worship the black woman, because she is a knower of the divine feminine. I don't know. I feel like that might sound crazy, but I just feel like in my life, it's like very important. And I wouldn't be who I am if it weren't for like black women who like taught me, artistically and spiritually.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's crazy, right? I think really what, you know, I worship, Like, as you were saying it, I was like kind of cracking up because I was like in no way would anybody ever do that. But I think we're getting over the initial hump of like understanding that some shit needs to change and flip around. Like, Black magic is a real thing. And I don't mean like Black magic versus white magic. I mean like Black people magic. Like, and I think that one of the main reasons, and the thing is, I feel like I give the previous ancestors and the powers to be a lot of power and credit by thinking that they knew all of this. I honestly don't know, but it's like, it's almost as though they knew that if they gave us Christianity, we wouldn't continue learning and growing our magic powers from our ancestors, like all the things that are passed down, right? And it's been 400 years and people are finally breaking free from that. And you know, if you grew up maybe in the Caribbean and the islands, maybe you got to keep some of your culture that kind of came over, but like in the United States, none of that stayed. Like, none of it. Maybe in New Orleans a little bit. They've got voodoo, but that's all, it's all bad to everyone that from where I'm from. Like, if you talk about voodoo or hoodoo, they will look at you as though you literally just grew horns out of your face. Like, oh, so you're evil. You're a devil worshiper. And it's like, I myself had to do research and just kind of be like, it's not that at all. It's not what I always thought it was. Yeah. I didn't even know. So it's like they strip the one thing that you pass down to your descendants is knowledge. It's legacy, right? That's just what you pass down. It's like your stories, your life, your experiences, everything. And I always think of the Avatar, the blue people. People always go, which one? The blue people, where they have home trees and the Amitakaya, and they connect to the tree that has their ancestors. And they can hear the laughter and the sounds and the love and all the things that they didn't necessarily get to experience. They can connect to it, and we can't. You could, if you know what you are, Irish, German, Swedish, whatever, you can go and connect in whatever homeland you're from. What am I going to do? Just drop off in Africa someplace and hope to find something that, you know, looks, oh, that looks like fun. Wonder if that's where I'm from, but like there's thousands of tribes. So I can't even do that. You know what I mean? So it's like, we've just all been stripped of our ancestral tree. We don't have a home tree to connect to. And I feel like they knew that. I don't know if they knew it, but it just feels like this wasn't an accident. There's no way. They just accidentally were like, let's take everything from them. And now we're kind of coming back and we're growing and, you know, people are more open to other religions and it feels like, it finally feels like, okay, maybe now we will begin to see that us having our power back doesn't take anything from you.
Yeah. Well, we're still going to be you.
Well, I don't think it does though. I don't.
Yeah, we're still going to be
you. You're still going to be you, right? If you and I are seen as equal in the world, nothing takes away from you. You're still seen as who you are. The only thing that happens is that I'm also seen as a person standing beside you.
Well, when I said, it's going to take the worldly things away. Like the things that white people have been attached to within their privilege.
For sure.
And that's going to feel like a death process for white people who've gotten to hold on to generational wealth or whatever the thing is they have. when I said worship earlier, how we're going to have to worship the melanin and worship the God within ourselves, I mean that. And I know a lot of people laugh when I use the word worship. And I think that's strategic too. I think the matrix, the white supremacy, the capitalism, whatever the thing is you want to call it, has taught us that worshiping is absurd. It's not absurd for us to talk shit about our friends, but it's almost kind of weird for us to worship our friends. And I think that's like evil. And that, and yeah, I think it's like dark programming. Maybe nothing's evil, but like, I think it's like dark programming. And so when I say like how we're like, I can only speak for me, like as a white woman, how we worship, how do you worship the melanin? Well, you can pay for things. Just like you look at it as like, how would you go to an altar? If you had a spiritual altar set up or you go to church, how do you act? How do you respond? You can give money. You can give resources as worship. You can give time as worship. You can give affirmations as worship, compliments. But it has to be sincere or it's not going to do anything. It has to be authentic. And it's going to take a lot for people to get to that authenticity of to worship even themselves, because people laugh when I say you need to worship yourself. They laugh. They think it's absurd, but they're taught to like worship their kids and take care of all this and do that. But like, we're not taught to give ourselves worship. We're taught to worship something external. But what, and that's strategic too, because that takes away our fucking power. Because once you start worshiping your own body sexually, physically, mentally, emotionally, you're that's just charging your power. And if you charge your power, you are not going to be a part of the matrix anymore, and the whole world will shift. And that's what we're seeing happen now. But I think like whitewashing is real, and people of color experience it the worst, but white people are whitewashing white people too. If you go to my grandparents, they don't know where they come from. They don't know their ancestors or the tradition. They know McDonald's and to celebrate Christmas and Black Friday. They don't, and it's sad. Like, I see them in pain from it. You know, like, yes, they're Irish, and like my family's Irish, and they were poor, and they learn to worship like business and trying to like make it in capitalism and not, you know, try to like pull themselves up by the bootstraps and like look down on like government assistance and stuff because they were so poor. Like, they were ashamed of it. And they had so much like alcoholism and drug addiction and like pain. And I'm like, I look at them and I'm like, what would it be like if they knew they even had ancestors? Like, there's no even ritual when someone in our family dies that they love. They just say like, oh, don't cry about it, Lacey. Don't dwell on the past. My grandpa died and people really loved him. And I started crying at the hospital when he died. And my grandma came out like robotic and was like, why are you crying, honey? I'm like, what? And it's because everything is like, not everything, but her ritual has been stripped from her. My grandma's divine feminine has been stripped from her. She's taught like not to be sexual and to be ashamed of it. She doesn't have other, she doesn't have other women friends or gatherings or any sort of spirituality. Like, my mom did a lot of meth and like she was magic, but they all thought she was like crazy from it. She talked to dead people and stuff. And I know the women in my family are like herbalists and talk to dead people, but no one will talk about it or come together in ritual because of this whitewashing, capitalistic bullshit of what, like, oh, all of a sudden they're like Christians. I'm like, you guys aren't Christians. Like, since when have you been Christian? But it's like what they think they have to do to like make it in their culture. And I like, but like, I see it come out sometimes, like the blood magic, when I say blood magic, like the lineage magic of talking to dead people, of ritual, of Celtic magic, Irish magic. But like, you know, that like my grandma's Irish and my grandpa's part Irish, like, and there's a little Scottish too. So they just don't feel connected to anything. And I don't want to like compare that to like the Black experience because it's not comparable. But I feel like once white people wake the fuck up and realize that whitewashing is hurting them, it's hurting, it's not good for anybody.
Right.
You know?
No, yeah. I mean,
and it's sad that they have to realize it's hurting them for it to wake them up, but I don't know what else is going to wake them up.
No, you're right. Like, the fact that you have lost connection with your ancestors as well, you know, as a, it's almost, it's like a side consequence that no one really thought about. You know what I mean? Like, and it,
yeah. And like, yeah. Like my grandparents were just trying to survive,
right.
You know, like people, like, you know, almost to think about spirituality, like for me right now, it's a privilege. Like when my grandparents, like they had no money and they're trying to like make businesses or food or whatever, they couldn't think about that shit. They were getting drunk,
yeah,
and working,
yeah.
and that's their ritual. Yeah. And then that created a lot more, and they were covering up generations of extreme sexual, mental, and physical abuse within their family.
Absolutely. Absolutely, they were. Everybody was. They still do it.
And I don't resonate with waking up, like, as far as, like, spiritually waking up or, like, when did you become woo? Like, I just always felt woo, but that's because I lived in such a weird environment with my mom who, like, was openly talking to dead people, but also, like, on drugs.
Yeah.
And she experienced so much trauma that, like, she had to go into the woo, and she realized some of her magic through her trauma. But even her, I'm like, fuck, maybe she wouldn't have like done so many drugs and like hurt her body so bad if she did have ancestors to call on.
Yeah.
Cause she kind of like started getting magical powers, but didn't have any support with it.
What's your mother?
And then
dying?
Everyone else around her would. Libra.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like, yeah. I feel similar. Like, I've always felt very out of place, right? I didn't have a word. I didn't have woo. I didn't have empath. I didn't have, you know, all I had was people call me sensitive. That was it. That's what everybody called me all the time. Sensitive. Oh, you're being too sensitive. Oh, you know, and that was the attack on me. Just to insult, like, if things got too weird for other people and I'm feeling all of these things and no one can tell me what's going on, I turn to drugs and alcohol as well. Because I didn't know what, like, yeah. I saw, clearly I'm in the room by myself. I see something walk by. I turn, there's nothing there, but I saw it. Who am I going to tell? Who am I going to tell? My mom, who's going to commit, who's like going to commit a whole exorcism on me. No thanks. You know? So yeah, I can see, especially in her day, which who knows, maybe what, 50s, 60s, 70s, we'll just kind of say maybe 80s. You know, she couldn't have known what was happening. And if she didn't have her mother to depend on and to say, Mom, there are things going on and something to connect to. And, oh, well, of course, because we're a lineage of witches or whatever. You know, this is something I had to find out on my own. Like, I had to truly strip everything about myself just because what I believe just didn't, I couldn't go any longer. It was just like, this is all shit. And I just can't live like this anymore. But I truly could see a timeline where I stayed in Christianity for the rest of my life, living in Louisiana, never leaving, believing all these things that I finally let go of. Like, I have people who, that's who they are. And they're just like, I can't believe you, you're so different now. And it's like, no, I'm finally me.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to talk to you. Like, like, you know, just
yeah,
breaking through, like you said, just dying. Well, you know, like you said, nothing ever dies, but it does. I think it dies and it comes reborn, right? So whatever parts of you that you kill off,
yeah,
they don't go away, but they add in more.
No, they evolve.
Right. They add. They yeah. add to it, right? Nothing is lost. I didn't lose anything with myself when I just kind of started learning who I am. I feel more full, more free, more happier now that I don't have any restrictions on my beliefs and what I am and what I'll say. And I, you know, I'm finally free enough that if somebody tells me something stupid, I'm just like, instead of retreating and becoming all introverted and trying to keep the peace, I'm just like, fuck off. Go away. Fuck you. And I feel great really? Being able to just finally be strong in who I am. Even when I'm walking down the street, like, you know, I live in Denver, you know, 16th Street Mall. Like when people are walking, men, especially men, white men, they don't move out of your way. They just expect you to move. No. I stopped moving. I'll run right into you. Yeah. And then look at you like you're insane. And they're always, I mean, it never fails. It never fails. They're always so confused. How did I hit someone? And I'm always like, excuse me, I'm walking here. And it's always like, I didn't see you. And I always say, that makes the most sense in the world to me. And just walk off. Because of course it makes sense. Of course you didn't see a 200-pound fat black woman barreling down 16th Street Mall in your path. Make that make sense, sir. Okay. I'll move. I don't care. I'll run dead into them. And I'll make my friends, like my friends, my white girlfriends, they'll like try to break off and I will hold their hands and we'll have like a whole fucking, like a line. It'll be three or four of us. And I'll be like, don't you dare fucking move. Don't you dare fucking move. And they finally are like, okay, okay, don't you fucking move. He gonna move around us or he gonna break this goddamn chain. He's not, we're not moving, not for anybody. They finally understand, but they're always like, oh no, I don't wanna be in their way. I'm like, fuck him. We're here. We are here. And we're here. Fuck it. The feminine is here. And we are not backing down anymore. We're not.
I love it. I love it.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I like how you're taking your power and kind of honoring like your sacred rage and just being in it. And I think it's so many feminine are afraid to like step into their anger and be like, fuck you. This energy is mine right now.
It's hard.
And that's, yeah. And that's again where it's a privilege thing. It's hard. It's less hard for white women.
Yeah, but it's like, it goes against everything I was raised. I was raised in the South.
Yeah.
My grandmother was, you know, I mean, she's a great woman, beautiful, truly powerful in her own right, but she was in a sorority. So it was always like, you know, appearances and, you know, do this. And my mother had me in etiquette classes and it's like Southern, you know, Southern hospitality and always speak, you know, at a decent tone and don't yell and don't holler and don't be all country. You know, cross your legs at the ankle, you know, all these different rules, like rules that maybe they had a place then, maybe I get it, but like, it never fit me. And I was always the black sheep. And they were always just like, God, she's just such a wild child. She just doesn't want to. And it's like, I'm not. But even now, trying to break free of all of that, I still have trouble just truly, like, before I'll even do something, I'm not impulsive. So before I just run into someone, I'm thinking about it the whole time. Like, I'm telling myself, I'm two blocks away and I'm like, if this motherfucker doesn't move, I'm just going to hit him. And here comes one more block. It looks like he's just going to keep going and I'm going to keep going too. You can do it. You can do it. Just pretend like you don't see him. Like, I'm talking to myself the entire time. It's not just like an impulsive, like, whatever. Like, I just jumped off a cliff. Like, I'm terrified of everything. So it's truly hard for me to stand strong in my secret rage, as you call it, and in my feminine, you know, whatever, and just be aggressive in a way that has been like stripped of me. You know, I'm always trying to be non-aggressive and don't want to be viewed as terrifying, you know, especially when you grow up around white people. You have to go small. You can't be flamboyant and loud and blah, 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 because, you know, how can you be a good black person if all the white people are scared of you? So it's like, these are all the things that like, I like constantly have to battle with. Like, I'm a good person. Fuck it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to be a good stereotypical black person. You either like me or you don't. And it shouldn't have anything to do with the color I am or whatever stereotypes you grew up with. I'm none of those. I don't fit any box.
Yeah.
But it was hard. It's still hard.
Yeah. I think it's wild. I think so much of becoming a god, which means like being an autonomous being, you have to be able to feel all of your emotions. And anger is a part of our emotions. And anger is a tool. And if we push the anger down in our body, it becomes disease. It becomes stagnant. Mm-hmm. It ends up hurting us. And to tap into your anger doesn't mean that, sometimes it does, but it doesn't mean that everyone has to go out and like scream or cuss someone out.
Right.
You can be angry without like taking it out on another person.
Absolutely.
Anger is expression. Anger is connected to the liver, to have a healthy liver. People who have issues with their liver often have like so much repressed anger.
Yeah.
So like even just like screaming or like jumping up and down to a song, shaking the anger out of your body, writing it out, like breathing, releasing tears, crying, men and women, all people on different scales or levels are taught that like anger is bad. Like different people, there's more of allowance for it, but even like masculine privileged men, like they don't know how to express it right. You know, they call me all the time for readings and they're like twisted up inside and have pain and shame and guilt. And not that I like, it's not our duty to like heal. It's not the oppressed duty to heal the oppressor, but we're all hurting,
yeah.
You know, like we're each other and we're hurting. And I don't know. I feel like when men are hurting the feminine, they're hurting themselves too.
Absolutely.
When men are hurting the feminine and they're hurting they're trying to kill the feminine inside themselves. Yeah. And when men are, you know, if we're hurting queer people, we're hurting ourselves. And it's truly the act of worshiping self so we can worship each other. Like fill our cup full of worship of self to worship each other. And I kind of hate that because it sounds really love and light. But I think like even worship can be like angry and passionate and creative and sad. You know, like think of like church, like going to the altar and like just crying and like throwing yourself to like God. It's like we have to throw ourselves to the God within us.
Absolutely. I love that. That's the name of the show. That's going to be the title.
It's been really fun talking to you.
Oh, my gosh. Same. We have to do it again. Is there anything you want to say in closing? Any last remarks?
I don't know. I just, well, the sacred horror is real. I think that, yes, when we have sex, it does bind energy, right? Mm-hmm. And for some people, that makes it so they don't want to do it. Cause it's like, I don't want to be bound to all these people, spiritually, energetically, physically. And then for some people, like, there used to be temples, the Isis temple, like, people would have sex with the whore, the sacred prostitute, and she would like take in the energy and like do energy readings through the womb and then like release the men, and then they would pay them for it. And maybe it was good, maybe it was bad. I wasn't there, but I think that there's an element of, we have to honor the, like, the sacred whore to be able to honor the feminine within us, even if we aren't the sacred whore. Because one thing that that's real quiet and we don't talk about is that strippers protect us in a way.
Yeah.
Strippers sometimes take on the worst, and sex workers take on the worst of the masculine.
Yeah.
So, like, privileged women. So, like, you know, so the privileged white woman doesn't have to deal with it as much.
I literally was just about to say that I think that sex work does actually heal. Like, the things that, the gross, whatever things that men, you know, that go through their minds and things they want to do. And then they've got some, you know, shadditty wife at home who's not going to do all of those things. And then he's just repressed and upset and regrets everything and hates life and isn't happy. And then you've got someone who's willing to take on that, whatever it is. I mean, there's a niche for everyone. Like, every single thing someone wants to do, there's someone out there who will do it with you. And yeah, I think they save a lot, and they take a lot. The violence that comes on them, I can't even imagine some of the things that sex workers and even strippers go through when these men are fully just free to explore whatever toxic, whatever repressed, whatever things they've been thinking about for years and years and years. And they were told, that's not right, that's wrong, you're a freak, you can't do that, things like that. So yes, I agree.
Yeah. And I think there's so much to learn from our traumas. And I also want to say, like, women are perpetrators of violence too. If we're talking about gender, women can get so fucked up with their own feminine and become masculine within themselves and make really bad decisions.
And they can like work.
Yeah, abuse sexually and physically. And I've been violent in my life. I've been the abuser. I've been both. And I don't think, like, I'm immune to it. So I don't want to sit up here and pretend to be this, like, holier than thou healer, because I'm not. I come from darkness, and I've played out darkness roles, and I try to integrate and heal from that. But that doesn't mean that I don't still slip into the darkness. Absolutely. And I think that's important to, like, talk about more, because so many people think, oh, like, I can't be a healer because I'm not this pristine yogi meditating every morning, eating raw, organic, whatever. And it's like, you can be the healer because the healer is within you. You know, like, we chose to be here at this time to help wake up the world, the galactic. And to help create the new world, and the new world is within us. So, yeah. And HorrorPod is my podcast, and it's a lot of trauma. it seems like it's just about sex, but it's very much about trauma. It's very much about finding your spirituality within your own body. And And it's also about sex and magic and ritual within that too. But I think our traumas hold the keys to our superpowers. And the traumatized people have a lot of superpowers. And they chose the trauma in a lot of ways to break the codes, to read the codes within themselves. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. And how can people find you? Like, it's whore, but not WHO. It's spelled
HOAR. Yeah, pod, POD. And you could book a reading with me at LaceyFree.com. They're like superpower readings, energetic body readings, which is a lot of like about trauma, holographic healing, like healing the trauma with herbs and timeline jumping, and sex magic readings. And a lot of times the sex magic readings are just like, are people talking about their like energetic blocks around sex, kind of like how you were talking about it earlier, because right. So many of us have that, all genders, all people, like sex has been commodified. And yeah. So there's so much guilt and shame within it in ourselves and like religion. Yeah. So a lot of us are dealing with that. We just need to talk about it more.
Absolutely. Hey, the next time you come on, I would love to talk about sex magic, like sex and spirituality, and how can we claim that for ourselves and just really kind of break through some of these ideas that everything that's magic is love and light. Because I don't live in love and light. Like, I feel like when I say that, people always misunderstand me. I love, right? I am a light, but I live in a darkness. It's like really emo inside my head. So it's like, it's all black. It's black and grays. It's just the worst of the worst. It's just where I am. And I just feel like I'm the light in the darkness, if that makes sense. So I'm not like a happy, just positive. Like, I hate that sort of shit because I feel like it's not real. Like, people who are just happy all the time, I think are the maddest people in the world. Like, there's no way you're that happy. So
yeah, I think all emotions serve us and we need them. But as far as sex magic, a huge component of sex magic is the trauma healing. Yeah. You can't get to sex magic. You can't use sex magic as a tool unless you're grounded in your own sex, in your own body. And that changes daily. I'm not pretending I'm grounded in my own body all the time. You know, I might have been grounded 2 hours ago and not be now. But it's like, how do you first recode how you feel about who you are sexually? And we all have trauma sexually. We're all sexually traumatized, whether we've had sexual abuse or not, because America is sexually traumatizing.
You're right.
But thank you for talking with me, and yeah, I really appreciate you and love your voice.
Thank you so much for showing up and being so open to have this conversation. I truly appreciate it. And I appreciate your voice as well.
Yeah, thank you. I meant to say you can find me at Lacey Is Free on Instagram too.
Oh, there you go. All right, good. And on Instagram. Good. All right, well, I would love to have you back again. Let me know whenever you want to do that. And magical beings out there, just remember, if somebody doesn't like you, I'm gonna fuck off. Be you. Be free. Love yourself. That's it.